Well, my precious heart-dwelling family, it seems that every time I miss a day, the message is even stronger the next day. And tonight we received a beautiful, beautiful message on the love that Jesus has for us, for you in particular, and what he's longing to experience with you and for you to experience with him. Today is October the 5th, 2015. And I want to begin by saying, let there be no misinterpreting anything in this message. This is a pure exchange of love from God that has not one carnal connotation. It is absolutely pure love in the Spirit, and this is possible with all of you. This is what he longs for with all of you. And this message is not about me. It's about you and Jesus and how he longs for you. So I want to begin by describing the experience that I had as I came into prayer. How will I ever communicate to you the joy I've experienced this day? Dear family, the last few days have been so fragmented with things going wrong. Demands on my time, sickness, and souls that needed immediate attention, that I haven't had the deep exchange of love with our Lord that I so need to sustain me and feed me so I'll have something to give you. But finally, today, I headed straight for worship when I got up, before my mind had a chance to think on the things of the world. And though for the first 40 minutes or so, my wild mind kept chasing this and chasing that, finally, at about the 60-minute mark, I was beginning to connect with the Lord and see what was really happening in the Spirit. Oh, the Lord himself was so immersed in my love for him. It was a sight to behold. I could feel his warm presence wrapped around me, in, of course, a very pure and holy way. But when I caught a glimpse of his holy face, I was just amazed. We were dancing to Terry McAlmon's songs, especially Praise Him. And Jesus' eyes were closed as he rested his head on mine and was the perfect picture of someone totally transfixed in love. Oh, there's one verse of a song we listened to together that says, "Let me pour my love on you, the fragrance of my heart." And that always makes me ashamed, and I flinch when I hear that line, because I don't see my heart as being fragrant at all. I see it riddled with faults that make me recoil at the thought of pouring those on my Jesus. But when I saw how he was enjoying the contents of my heart, all that began to change. He must have some kind of filter. As I gazed upon his sweet face, totally absorbed in me, I began to reckon that there must be something fragrant there, or he wouldn't be so absorbed. As I was thinking these things, I saw tears rolling down his cheeks, and I heard him say, "If only you knew how much consolation you bring me. This is my heaven on earth." Wow. I had tried many times to keep my focus in worship, to catch even a glimpse of what was really taking place between us. And I'd see just a little, and my mind would soon slide into foolish thoughts like, "My feet are cold. I need to order those socks." Or, "I need to find my broom. Did someone walk off with it again? It was there last night." Oh, boy. And then I would realize what happened, and I'd return my attention to the Lord and worship until I was able to keep my focus on him for most of the time. And I know that was a grace that he gave me, because I kept crying out to him, "Lord, please help me to keep my attention on you." Anyway, that is when I entered into this amazing bliss, a sense of perfect contentment and sweet fulfillment of all my soul has ever longed for. Very much like being drenched in the spiritual equivalent of warm honey, beginning at my head and running down over my being to my toes. But add to this the vision of the Lord in complete oneness with my feelings. He himself was experiencing this warm honey too, and there was a blissful place of union of our beings that left me saturated with gentle peace and complete, total satisfaction. And he was moved to tears of gratitude by this sweet exchange of heaven between us. Imagine that. God feels gratitude for our love for him. How does one fathom such mysteries that God should find any pleasure, let alone bliss, in any one of us? Well, he has. As he held me, such foolish questions disappeared. Then Jesus began to speak. My tender lover, how blessed I am to have you in my arms for even this short while. Oh, if only mankind could experience the sublime love I have for him, never again would sin enter the world. Well, I couldn't just receive it. A red flag went up. How am I going to explain this to you guys? I kind of accepted it at face value, but I knew that people would question this, so I had to do it. Silly me. I couldn't leave a tender moment alone because I knew it would elicit objections from others, and I didn't want any of this to be discounted as my own musings. Truly. But I wanted others to understand, so I asked, please explain it to me, Lord. What about free will? Ah, yes, there is free will. But if a soul could be penetrated to the marrow of their bones with the love I have for them, never would sin reign in their lives again. The problem arises when the soul will not have me, when they say this far and no further. That is their undoing and downfall. You see, I should word that slightly differently. If only mankind would allow me to penetrate their very being with the sublime love I have for them, never again would sin enter the world. It would not be possible for a soul saturated with my love to sin. But as I said, the problem arises when the soul draws the line, not me. Do you understand this now, my love? I do, Lord. I have seen the stubbornness of man's heart when it comes to receiving you fully. I have been guilty of the same. He continued, yes, and it is so fruitless, so very barren and fruitless. If only they would trust me, I would prove to them my love. They would experience the rewards of being bathed in my love and would even come to understand the long-term contradictions that make no sense to those who live in the flesh. I think there he was talking about things like, why do people die? You know, why do children get sick? And, you know, these are long-term contradictions of love. But they would understand them, and if they were infused enough with the Lord. Claire, my dearest child and love, it is your solemn responsibility to reveal this love to them. Do not let them go on in their blindness of my love. Do everything in your power to spread the perfume of my love for them. Everything. Do you understand, my love? Do everything in your power. Yes, Lord, oh God, help me. Show me what's in my power to do with your grace. I will. Enlist the support of the many around you. Explore the venues. Reach out into the far corners of this earth with my love. Declare it from the rooftops. Send it even into the bowels of the dark places of this earth. For I am calling all men to me, so that I may love them as they have never been loved before. This love is so sublime that even if you labored for years to reach the infinite borders of its source, still you would only have scratched the surface. It is so vast that I cannot turn even one away. Even the most wicked among men, if they repent, my arms are flung wide open to receive them. The doors of my infinite mercy have not as yet closed. They are still open. There is still hope. I know the weariness of my brides, but I also know my brides love me with their lives, and nothing is too great for me to ask of them. Nothing. I am still asking for patience in this hour. Patience, prayer, long-suffering and charity for mankind. Soon enough you will be with me in paradise. Soon enough, my laboring lovers. Then all of this will seem like a bad dream. So much will just fade away when you've reached the shores of your destination. Oh, I have promised you so much, and I will not defraud you. So much more is being added to your coffers in heaven. As you continue to march shoulder to shoulder in peace, love, and dedication to bringing souls into my bosom. Long have I waited for such an army of souls that would look out for one another with not a thought of their own reward. And on this channel I have found such as these. All of you have been drawn together by the love flowing from my fountains of grace in heaven. All of you have brought your own tributaries into the mix, adding grace upon grace upon grace. And that is as it should be. The experience of my love is heightened on this channel because of your self-sacrifice and focus on me and those I entrust to you. How beautiful to see this symphony of love playing on the sweet strings of heaven and drawing all men to me. You have weathered many storms, many barrages of arrows, many attempts to corrupt your pure and loving sacrifices, many attempts to turn you against one another. You have shown great patience and virtue. You are my trusted servants, and having been faithful with the littler things, I can increase now the gifts of grace to my proven souls. Yes, I am going to increase your gifts of wisdom, love, patience, and effectiveness in prayer. You are also going to see more healings and more hearts melting in your arms as they give their lives to me. Many of you have been spurned and looked down upon in your own churches. Many have indeed suffered a lifetime of rejection and being passed by for the more influential, educated, and flashy Christians. May I say your humility has gained you the high honor of being my chosen few to bring the nectar of my love for souls to this bitter and darkened world? Notice I did not say knowledge or learning or expertise. No, all of those things serve only to puff one up. They have their place when handled with extreme humility, but are not the ultimate food of heaven. Love is the ultimate food of heaven, and you have all chosen the better portion of love to spread the fragrance of my delicate love to a hurting and darkened world. I know this has not been easy for you. I know many times you have wanted to retreat or give up. But rather than giving in to your flesh, you came to me for more grace, wise and loving bride that you are. You came to me before resigning and asked for more grace. And I have not denied you. You have stayed the course, run the race, and set your eyes on the prize of the high calling. As it is written, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 3:14. And for this I commend you and promise even more spiritual territory, because you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. It's Matthew 25:21. Grace builds upon grace, and as you handle my sheep and my lambs with tenderness, revealing my love, I will increase your anointing and bring you into the fullness of your calling. And though you be few in number, you are mighty in grace and wisdom to bring the broken, the alienated, into my kingdom. You are paving the way for my return. You all, in your own right, are voices crying out in the wilderness, as it is written, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. To Luke 3:4. You are indeed making straight paths for me into the hearts of men. You have refused to get caught up in doctrinal religious quarrels, rhetoric, and posturing. No, your ways are my ways of love. Without the religious roadblocks and impediments that my people have grown so weary of, they hunger to experience me, to have that profoundly real experience and relationship with me, not with men and institutions. Every valley shall indeed be filled in as humility is cherished and nurtured among my elect. You have made the way so lowly that anyone, even the littlest child, can traverse it. The mountains of pride, celebrity cults, and performance have been replaced with simple cherishing of every soul, no matter how lowly or sinful. For my love cries out, precious, precious, precious is the soul who hungers for me, for he shall have me. It is my blood which has made the lowliest among men the most precious. There is no price to be paid for such as these that is greater. No soul is greater than my sacrifice on the cross. Yes, it is the great leveling field where the mountains of pride, presumption, and pretensions men are governed by are utterly cast down as worthless. The crooked roads invented by men, causing so many to give up before they've reached me, have been utterly destroyed, and the rough ways of demanding attainment of this and attainment of that have been removed. Nothing is attained to. All is a free gift, for my arms are wide open and cherishing all who come to me, no matter how lowly their station in life may be. So truly you have walked in the footsteps of your precursor, John, and like him you are making straight the way of your Lord. So be encouraged, my chosen people. Know that your very small and humble callings are reaching to the ends of the earth and bringing in the harvest. Let no one frighten or discourage you. Yes, take every thought captive and continue on in the knowledge that you are pleasing to me. By their fruit you will know them. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. Continue on in my vineyard and bring forth the sweet wine of my love to your fellow men.